Baruch Hashem, we're learning the Maimer of the Mavo, the introduction of Rav Kook to Shabbos Haaretz, Parish of Rav Aviner. We're on page 29 in the Parish. I hope you have that. We're up to where it says Chaviv in Yisrael. Some of you also have the English translation. Rav Kook was explaining that, in his words, is translated into the English here, that life has the greatest value to the extent that it is infused by godliness. To the extent that it's infused by godliness, and that a life without a touch of the divine is not worth anything. It's not worth anything. Even more than that, they know that a godly life is true life, and life without God is no life at all. Every nation has its nekuda miuchedes, its particular nekuda that sets it aside from all other nations of the world. Now, Rav Kook was explaining that when it comes to Knesset Yisrael, to Am Yisrael, that nekuda is Elokus. The realization that as a people we can't live without God. We can't live without a Kadosh Baruch Hu. We can't live. It's not something which is an extra thing in life, a nice thing in life, a good thing in life, something that is admirable, something that is preferred. It's life itself. And without Elokus, it's not life. After explaining that, as far as the general quality of Am Yisrael is concerned, then Rav Kook moves over to the life of the individual Jew. And he says that to the extent that the individual is able to develop this, or to recognize, to come into contact with, and to nurture this natural inyan of Elokus that's inside of each and every member of Knesset Yisrael, to that extent, where he enters into that mitzvah. That mitzvah exists. That's what we're going to be talking about. The next part of the Maimer is about Bechira and school. We'll see it's very, very, very important. Hashem created us a certain way. Our Bechira, our choices, whether we want that or we don't want it. Whether a person wants to connect to that natural koach that he has. The same way, lahavdil, you have somebody that could be very, very bright and is a talented and bright person, but prefers to stay in bed all day, or prefers to sit around there watching television or something. So the fact that he's bright, you know, and his parents, every single PTA, they tell his parents, you know, you're a Yankee, he's has tremendous, tremendous potential. That was like, right, that word, potential, it's great potential. So, and he does. He's got terrific potential. He's a brilliant kid. He's talented. He's got everything going for him. He's lying in bed. He's not doing anything with his life. So, that he didn't create that intelligence that he has. Hashem gave him that intelligence. His choice is whether he taps into it. That's all. So, the natural mahus essence of the Jewish people is Elokus. The natural essence of each individual member of Knesset Yisrael is Elokus. The Bechira of the individual is, do you want to enter into that mitzias of who you are? Do you want to use that natural, inborn, godly gift that you have? Do you want to open it? Do you want to use it in your life? And Rav Kook is saying that the same way, when it comes to Am Yisrael, life without God is no life at all. And we even see that we can't exist without God. The Jewish people can't exist without a Kadosh Baruch Hu. It hasn't worked. We become assimilated, we're destroyed. It doesn't work. It's not a life without God. So too, an individual can choose to live without God, but it's kind of life. It's not a life. It's no life at all. It's not that it's not as meaningful a life. It's not as chosh of a life. It's not a life. It's not a life. It's not life at all. A non-Jew can live that way and can enjoy himself and could be successful, but a Jew without the Rosh Hashanah, without a Kadosh Baruch Hu, can't really be matzliach. And that's what it says in the Torah, v'atem advekim v'Hashem Elokeichem chayim kol chamayim. Only those of you who are dovuk, who are attached to God, are truly alive. Are alive. Chaim kul chamayom. It doesn't say that you have a good life. Those of you who are attached to Hashem, you have a better life. You have a more exalted life. It says, Atma dvekim Hashem Elokeichem, if you are attached to Hashem, chayim kuchem hayom, then you are alive. Without that, you are not alive. You're biologically alive, and you could be successful in business and in other things, but you're not alive. Atma dvekim Hashem Elokeichem, chayim kuchem hayom. So Rav Aviner, we're continuing with Rav Aviner in the middle of page 29, where it says, Chavivin Yisrael. The Mishnah says in Ovis, Chaviv in Yisrael shenikru bonim lamakam. The Jewish people are beloved. We are called Hashem's children. Yisrael heim bonim lamakam. Bein shem yodim zos, bein shem yodim zos. We are Hashem's children, whether we know it or we don't know it. Whether you appreciate that or you don't appreciate that. Whether you think about it or you don't think about it. It's the reality. The reality is that says in Chumash, Banim Atem L'Sham Lokeh. It doesn't say that about anybody else in the world, just about us, that Banim Atem L'Sham Lokeh. They were Hashem's children. Might not be aware of it. Sometimes a person that was adopted, they never told him who his real parents are. He doesn't know. But the Metzius is Banim Atem L'Sham Lokeh. They were Hashem's children. Ben Shem Yodim Zos, Ben Shem Yodim Zos. Kamuvan Chibi Yeserin Odas Lehem Shenikru Banim L'Mokam. But it's Gevaldig if a Jew knows that. If it's no Das Lehem, if you recognize that, if you know that, and if you live with that Metzius of Banim L'Mokam, being Banim L'Mokam, Hashem's children. Ela told us Yitzchak, and Avram Hoyle is Yitzchak. It's strange, the whole pasuk is strange to the Gemara. Like it's telling us the genealogy, we don't know the genealogy. There's a lot to talk about, but the Nekuda that we're talking about here is Ela told us Yitzchak, and Avram Hoyle is Yitzchak. The greatest thing in Yitzchak Savino's life, the greatest thing, if you ask Yitzchak Savino, if you woke up in the middle of the night and you said, what would you say about yourself as the greatest asset in your life? So he would say that I'm Avram's son. Elo told us Yitzchak, Avram Hoyle is Yitzchak. And it's funny because if you would ask Avram Avinu, what is the most chashuva thing in your life? He would say, I have such a child called Yitzchak. Elo told us Yitzchak, Avram Hoyle is Yitzchak. The pasuk's not telling you anything else. Ela told us Yitzchak ben Avram Hoyle is Yitzchak. The Yitzchak every moment of his life would think, "Who is my father? What kind of a father do I have? Who's my father? My father is Avram. Avram Avinu is my father." Ela told us Yitzchak ben Avram. That's his whole. The told us of Yitzchak is that he's ben Avram. That's his whole. His whole life he lived with that thought that I'm the child of Avram Avinu. I'm his son. And that's a mechayiv, that's a big thing. All of the love and all of the ischayivus that comes with being the son of Avram Avinu, and his father was going around thinking the whole time, I have such a child, and Hashem is what gave me Yitzchak. Ela told us Yitzchak, when Avram heard this Yitzchak, that I gave birth to such a, I gave birth, that we had a child like this, Yitzchak. Because sometimes when a person gets old, so he gets a little bit tired, and he gets a little bit stuck. He stops growing. But Avraham Avinu used to walk around every day of his life thinking, I have a son Yitzchak, it's a mechayiv. That's such a child. And Yitzchak was very different than his father. And through Yitzchak, Avinu came to discover new things about himself. Elo told this Yitzchak, but Avraham Avinu is Yitzchak. The Mishnah is saying that the greatest thing that a Jew has in his life is that he's a child to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Nobody else has that. Only we have such a thing. To go around thinking that I'm a ben or a bas to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'm the Baruch Shalom's child. The greatest tragedy is when a Jew doesn't know that. When a Jew doesn't think about it. When you know that, then that's the greatest love. When you feel that, when you know that, that Hashem is your father.
But when Jews live without this awareness, chayeyam einam chayim, it's not a life. Chayim Einem Chayim. He might think of himself as no different than somebody that's not Jewish, but the truth is, Chayim Einem Chayim. Again, the same way in the Moshel, that boy that has tremendous intelligence and skill and all kinds of talents, but he sits his whole life in bed, so he doesn't think himself as anybody good. There are a lot of people that live like me. A lot of people that that's it. But that life that he spends living in bed with a pint of ice cream, you know, watching the playoffs from 1964 or something, it's not a life. But then you ask him, and you tell him, you go to him, you say, Yanki, this is not a life. What kind of life is this? What are you lying in bed? So he says, what do you mean? The guy next door has been doing this twice as long as me. The terrorist says, he's not the same as you. What's the matter with you? Your life is not a life. His life, that's his life. Say that. That's his life. But it's not your life. So if it's not your life, it's not called life. Otherwise, it's not life. And if not, chayechem einam chayim. Then your life is not a life. There was a big Baal Machshava who said that when it comes to Yiddishkeit, if it's everything, if it defines who you are, if it's everything, then it gives you life. But if it's only a part of your life, then it's really like Kielu, it's not anything. It's not like other things where you have a little bit of money, it's Zeichgit, you know. You have a little bit of Nachas, it's also good. But when it comes to who you are, the Elokus, so you can say if you have a little bit of life, it's also, it's not life. It's not a little bit of the Barisham, a little bit. In other words, religion is either the most important thing to you in your life, or it's not really much of anything. And this is one of the saddest things that we see nowadays, that you have people that are officially from, but it's really not the most, it's not really everything in their lives. It's a minor part of their lives. I'm finding out more and more, I was talking to somebody, it was a chasna last night, I was talking to somebody, Baruch Hashem is very, very chosh, Talmud Chacham, and he's working with he got a position to be a rav, someplace outside of town. And he told me that Baruch Hashem, guys are coming to shul, some women are coming to shul, and he told me that the vast majority of these chevra that are showing up, they don't go to shul at all. Maybe I'm naive. They're Shomer Shabbos, but they haven't been to shul since like this high school or college. They don't go to shul. Now they're coming. He's telling this tzaddik is getting things going, and they heard he has something to say. So some of these chevra are coming, and he has them. He learns with them during the week of Shia, and they're starting to come. So that was the conversation I had. That was before the Bedekin. And then by the chuppah, I was sitting with another Yid, who was also a young rabbi, closer to home, where we live here. And he was telling me that he's working with this chevra. It's not even officially called a shul, I don't think, but he's working with this chevra. And he said that almost all of them have not been to shul in 15 years. Haven't been to shul in 15 years. Hashem Kippur, but other than that, they have not been to shul. And he says, they keep Shabbos, I mean with some lapses, but they're keeping Shabbos, they put on film, but they're done with shul. They're finished with shul. Before COVID, you know, before any of that. They're just done with shul. And it's not the life of a Jew. It's not the life of a Jew. It's not their fault. I'm not blaming those guys at all. It's the leadership. So it's the rabbi's fault. It's not their fault. The second some young guy comes around, he's got something to say, and he talks about the Baruch Shalom, they're all coming. Because that's all he's talking about, this guy. The first one and the second one, all they're talking about is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And these people coming, these 40-year-old guys are coming,
to have kids that go to yeshiva. They don't go to shul. And what's drawing them? Like, so the older rabbis are scratching their heads. Why is it that we haven't succeeded in getting more than 11 people over here? And this guy's here for a week, and he's got 50 people, 80 people, next week 100 people. And the answer is, dear rabbi, the answer is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You never once spoke about him. You never once spoke about him. There's some famous shul in the city someplace that somebody sent me a whole article about it. It's an upsetting article. There's a whole, like, I don't know, a whole Muhammad going on. I don't know what he sent to me. I started to read it and I threw it away. He told me that the point he wanted to make was about how the guys need to have his service. He was making a good point, but I just want to see the names of the people. But anyway, it's this famous shul. And there's a very old rabbi, a very wonderful person. Never spoke about the Baruch Shem. Kind of didn't speak about God. It was all about politics and about politicians, and he's got all over the wall pictures of himself with Yasser Arafat and with John F. Kennedy, you know. And they don't know because nobody's coming to shul. Nobody wants to go to shul. And then they get this young guy. Of course, this young guy's not fired. They got this young guy, and he said, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, and all of a sudden people are coming. That means the end of his job. He's finished. You're not supposed to talk about God if you're a rabbi, you understand? You're in the wrong profession. But this is what's happened. Jews feel intuitively, they feel it, that life without God is just kind of like it's not life. And therefore they don't bother go to shul. When the shul is filled with the Baruch Shalom, they go. The same way the Beis HaMikdash had no problem with attendance. No problem with attendance. They didn't have to have all kinds of things with graphics and hire all kinds of people to put up signs in every corner to say, come to the Beis HaMikdash, come on. Oh, we're having a simple Beis HaShoev in the Beis HaMikdash. Didn't have to do that. Word got out. How did word get out? How did anybody know the simple Beis HaShoev? Come, 8 o'clock, simple Beis HaShoev. Men, women, and children, everybody is invited to come to simple Beis HaShoev. No social media, no advertisements, no signs, no newspapers going. How is it that the Olam came? Because the Baruch Shalom sells himself, you understand? He sells himself. He doesn't need any promoters. The Baruch Shalom is life itself. It's life itself. If, God forbid, there's a milchama and there's nothing to eat, and they have someplace, there's a little bit of food, you think they have to have signs up all over, please, please come, please come. Or like they have to have some sort of COVID they were making afterwards. Organizations were making things to try to motivate people to come back to shul, to leave their tents or to leave their couches and to come back to shul. And they're making all kinds of incentives. You know, we'll give you $25 for chakras, $50 for mincha, you get $100 for ma'ariv. Whatever they were doing, all these things, you know, we'll have hostesses and giving out free danishes and coffee. All this stuff. Can you imagine? If it was a milchama, there's nothing to eat. You have to promote food. There's a line waiting around 5 blocks to get some food. Because they know what? This is my life. This is my life. I can't live without eating. So they're waiting to get to food. But if you think that Yiddishkeit is something which is like, you know, okay. It's a side onion. And that the Baruch Shalom is not... So then you have to make everything with promoting and advertising and marketing and more money, you know, all these things that it's bizyonis to the Baruch Shalom. I'm not saying that there isn't a need, unfortunately there is some need for it, you know, but it's bizyonis to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that you have to beg people to come to shul, that you have to ask people to, it's the biggest bizyonis for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, for the Shechina that she's sitting there. And people don't come to shul, they come late to shul, so it's yonis for the Shechina. That same person wouldn't be late for a movie, wouldn't be late for a ball game. He comes before, so he doesn't want to miss the Star Spangled Banner, you understand? But you can't get him to a matoivu, he won't be there for a matoivu, he won't be there for a nice masechet vinyl hafim nivulat, but for the Star Spangled Banner, he doesn't want to miss. So this is atamad vegma shemachayim kul chamim, because if you knew, that the Baruch Shalom was your life, if that was clear to you, that it was your life, you'd be waiting in line for him. But this is a Hester Pundit who doesn't know that the Baruch Shalom is his life. Again, it's not their fault. It's not their fault what happened over the years in the Golis and the Tsaros. It's not saying it's anybody's fault. The leadership is their fault. The ones who claim, the ones who describe themselves as people of God, as men or of God, it's their fault. It's not the Haman Am, it's not their fault. But without the Baruch Shalom, this... Hagmar kavaz shetalmid shagola maglam imay es rabbi. You all know this is a very remarkable din. The Gemara is talking about the Arim Miklat, the cities of refuge, that if a person kills somebody by accident, he has to go to the Arim Miklat. He runs away from the Gal Hadam, and he goes to the Arim Miklat. And the Gemara tells us the strangest din, that when this guy, it was very, very rare that it happened, such a thing, but when this guy went, when this guy had to go run away for to save his life and go to the Arim Miklat, so his Rebbe had to go move there also. There are all kinds of halachas about how long do you have to stay, and does he have to go back and forth? I'm not getting into it. But the Rebbe had to go there. His Rebbe. Why did he have to go? They didn't have Zoom then, you understand? So his Rebbe had to go to the Arim Miklat. That'd be an interesting question, by the way. His Rebbe had to go. I think it would be the same then. It's not the same to learn over the thing. So his Rebbe had to go. Why? Vahezbra hamuva sham, the Gemara explains, Meshum sheyesh lidoi, l'talmud l'chaim. As the Gemara says, because life without Torah, without the Torah from his Rebbe, einam chayim. It's an amazing din. So this Rebbe's got to pack up, he's got to say goodbye to his family, and then the question, of course, what about the guys in the yeshiva back home? Say that. There's the possibility of some other, it's a discussion, it's not for now. But his Rebbe, he can't live without his Rebbe. And the Torah said he doesn't die. It says, V'nos al-achad ha'ar mal-v'chai. It says in Pasuk, he runs away to one of the cities of refuge, v'chai, and he lives. So the Gemara learns out from that, that he lives means, without the Baruch Shalom, he can't live. And what that means, without his Rebbe, he can't live. It's an amazing thing. The Torah says, V'chai. We don't want this guy to die. It was an accident. We don't want to die. So the guy says, no, it's okay. My Rebbe doesn't have to come. I got a place in the Arim Miklat. I got a tennis court. I got a pool. I'm fine. Don't worry about it. I'm bringing along some reading. You know, I'm okay. And the Gemara says, no, your Rebbe has to come. So he's got this fancy house. He's got central air. He's got this whole big setup with a pool and a tennis court. And all of a sudden, this old Rebbe walks in. He says, Shalom Aleichem. He says, Rebbe, what are you doing? He says, they sent me over here. The Bezdin said that you need me here. He said, I'm okay. No, I love you and everything, but I'm okay. I have my old notes. I'm all right. He says, no. You don't, that's because you don't understand that without me, you're not alive. You're not really living without me. I said that to my wife last day of Shabbos. I'm sitting, I'm looking outside the window, and there's a Baal Shem Tov scene. I was sitting outside, and I'm looking at the Baal Shem Tov scene. But I said to my wife, I missed the shul very badly. So she said to me, okay, but you know the Baal Shem Tov's here. I said, no, I'm happy, and I spent a lot of time there with the Baal Shem Tov, talking about all of the chevra really, and I'm happy to be with the Baal Shem Tov, but it's my place, and it's kind of like, without my place, I don't feel like I'm alive. I don't feel that way. When your place of learning, your place of davening, so this is what's so sad about Jews, from people not having a place, not feeling that my life depends on that place. My life depends upon my chavrusa, my rebbe, my rav, my life. That's my life. That's how Jews lived for thousands of years. They felt that way. This is my life. It's not like an extra thing, you know. It's my life. Chaim kul chemayim. Without that, it's not a life. Afa Rambam koyset dvarim doimim. Vemer shaloloi hatar chayim shabalichoch meinim chaim. The Rambam writes that he just says chayim shabali hachochma einim chaim. The Rambam just adds and says that people of Chochma cannot feel alive when they're without the Rebbe. A person who's not a person of Chochma So he entertains himself with all different substitutes for that life. So he feels that he's alive. Again, he feels he's alive because he's able to have, you know, a plasma screen or something. So he feels that he's alive. But Balei HaChachma, the Rambam says, they know that they're not alive. The truth is that the guy with the screen is also not alive. He just doesn't, he's missing the chibiyus. No, das lam chibiyus. He doesn't know that he's not alive. Which is really, that's the saddest thing. He lives in a dimion of being alive. He's not alive, but he lives in this delusion of being alive. The next piece in Rav Kook, the words of Rav Kook. On page 30. Rav Kook writes, and we're going to see very soon how he begins to then bring us into the world of Shemitah and Eretz Yisrael. It's very remarkable. Hachayim al pi erech ha'elokius shebehem. Einem esgalem el ha'yachid, el ba'ois amida shu mis'ametz li'az nishav, b'chol havayasa b'sochiyusa shal klolus ha'uma. The translation is much better than mine. This translation is, life in its fullest, real life, hachayim. Al pi erech elokius shebehem. So he writes here, divine intensity is increasingly revealed to a person to the extent that he struggles to aspire with all his being, with all of his being. Misames liyoshnishav b'kol havayosa, to connect to the inner life of the people as a whole. Just let's read Rav Kook's words a little bit in the middle of the page, the dark words. Lios muzhar mizohar nishmasa ha'el yayna, and to be illuminated by the light of its exalted spirit, hachaye v'kayemes, the spirit lives. Chaye v'kayemes, b'hakoras hayikar eloki shalachayim mitoch pnimiyusa ha'klalus. To be illuminated by the light of its exalted spirit, the spirit lives through a pervasive inner awareness of the precious godliness in life. Now let's take this piece by piece. Okay, let's see Rav Avinir. Back on top, Maran HaRav. Maran HaRav Medar Bekan. So before, Rav Kook was talking about the natural inner quality of the Jewish people is Dveikus B'Hashem. Then he said, and the natural inner quality of a Jew is Dveikus B'Hashem. And now, what Rav Kook is telling us is that in order to truly experience Dveikus B'Hashem, each individual Jew must attach himself to the nation of Israel, to Knesset Yisrael. You can't be a Jew just by yourself. Even though you have that inyan eloki, that elokus inside of you, it cannot be fully activated and illuminated as somebody who is apart from the nation. Only by virtue of one's dveikus to Yisrael can you become really dovuk tasha. To be connected to the neshama of the nation. No seishem ofia pamirabas b'seifa oiris u'befrat b'pirki oiris yisrael, which Rav Kook talks a lot about in his farm. B'bikur shul ha'admor migur bal ha'imrei emes baritz. When the Ger Rebbe schus v'henu, when the Imrei emes visited Eretz Yisrael, one of the most important objectives, the Imrei Emes himself said, of that trip was to meet Rav Kook. There was tremendous controversy, as you all know, about Rav Kook that was coming from the old Yishuv. And the Imrei Emes went to Eretz Yisrael, and one of the main reasons that he wanted to go, besides, of course, to be in Eretz Yisrael and to go to the Chassidim and so on, was to meet Rav Kook, and he spent quite a bit of time with Rav Kook, and he was very, very overwhelmed as a result of that meeting with Rav Kook, the meetings that he had with Rav Kook. There was also some very, very respectful critique that he offered, but he was very, very open about how he was blown away by Rav Kook. So one of the things that happened, Bibikur Shal Admon Migur Bal Imri Emes Baritz, when the Imri Emes went to Eretz Yisrael, Omer LeMoran HaRav, so he was talking to Rav Kook, and he said, She'esh LaChassidim Erchlim Shiraim Shalai Rebbe, that the custom of the Chassidim was to eat the Shiraim of the Rebbe, the leftovers, the food from the Rebbe. Laharish Shachosed Botel El HaRav. And this was, among other things, this was a simon that the Chassid was bottled, that the chassid was humbling himself and was bottled to the Rebbe. Haravu Adam Gadol, Bal Neshama Klalis. The Rebbe was talking to Rav Kook. He wasn't saying anything, of course, that Rav Kook didn't know. And Rav Kook also came on one side from Chassidim, of course. But they were talking. He said that the Rebbe is an Adam Gadol, and Bal Neshama Klalis, and the Tzaddik has an Neshama Klalis, he has an Am Yisrael, a Knesset Yisrael, Dik and Neshama. The Tzaddik is the soul of the people. V'ilo HaChassid from Neshama Pratis Ketan. And the Chassid is an individual Neshama. The Tzaddik, in Chassidus were taught, that the Tzaddik is a Neshama Klalis. He somehow includes within him all of the Neshamas of the Chassidim, of Yisrael. And the chassid is a particular individualized neshama. She'en lakiyim bifnei atzma. That neshama can't exist on its own. It needs to be connected to the neshama of the Rebbe. And that's a big teaching, of course, in Chassidus. Lachen oichel achazes shirayim shal Rebbe. Therefore, a physical way to connect to the Rebbe is by eating the shirayim. There's a lot to that, but we're not going into it now. As the Rabban explains how it was in the Beis HaMikdash with the Shiraim, with the Kahanim, the food of the Kahanim. It's a very big Indian. The Lamed Shu'atzma has Shiraim Shal HaRebbe. The Rebbe said, because by the Chassidim, this shows that the Chassid himself is the Shiraim of the Rebbe. The same way that this is a piece of the food, so too, the Chassid is a piece of the Rebbe. The Shiraim of the Rebbe. And by that, the chassid becomes deeply connected to and attached to the Rebbe. And this helps him to grow higher and higher and to get closer and closer to the madrega of the tzaddik of the Rebbe. Imkeng, Shoal ha'adma migur. So the Ger Rebbe asked Rav Kook, Ono erchlim shirayim shal Rebbe. We eat the shirayim of the Rebbe. Vatem. So what do you do? How does it work with you? With the non-Chassidim. Ba'ata. He was acknowledging that Rav Kook is a tzaddik, and that Rav Kook is a neshama of Klalis, of the Jewish people. So the question is, so how do they connect to you? What's the connection to you? There's no shirayim. I mean, these are two tzaddikim talking, so there's a lot of levels, but this is just the surface. Onelo Maran HaRav. Rav Kook answered, I think we all would have expected this answer, and Rav Kook himself wrote about this difference between what he was focusing on and what was in Chassidus. You know, there was a tremendous amount in common. And he was drawing very, very much from the teachings of Chassidus, particularly Chabad Chassidus. But there was a difference, and he said, "Onelo Maran HaRav, Anachnu Enenu Shirayim Shal HaRebi, El Onu Shirayim Shal Knesses Yisrael, Shal Nishmas HaUma." We're all Shirayim of the Neshama of the Jewish people, not of one particular Rebbe. We Shirayim of Knesses Yisrael, of Nishmas Yisrael. That's how we do it. And it's a difference. And that's what Rav Kook wrote about. He said when he was asked about how are his teachings different In what way is he different from the teachings of the Chassidus? One of the things that Rav Kook explained was that the focus of Chassidus was on the individual, and the focus of his teachings was on the nation, was on the people, on Am Yisrael. Shal nishmas ha'uma, enenu mizbatlim l'hodem echad. Our way is not to be mevatl ourselves to one tzaddik, to one individual. Elo l'nishmas ha'uma kula, but rather to be mevatl ourselves to the neshama of the entirety of the Jewish people. Not to one individual tzaddik, as much as, of course, the tzaddik is great and is venerated and loved and respected, and so on. And Rav Kook wrote a great deal about the inyan of the tzaddik. But the ikr, Rav Kook says, by us, the ikr is to be the shiraim of the nation, the shiraim of the Jewish people. V'sefer Eretz HaTshuva, Kaisa Miran HaRav. So Rav Kook writes in Eretz HaTshuva, Shatshuva hi ha'izbatlus l'nishmas ha'uma. Tshuva means, in order to do tshuva, it's not enough to think that you're returning to Hashem. It means returning to the Jewish people, returning to your people, and being mevat yourself to the neshama of the Jewish people. You cannot connect to Hashem without connecting to the Jewish people. Therefore, the Rambam himself writes that a person who separates himself from the Jewish people does not want to have anything to do with them, and does not fast when they have tzaros, and does not join with them in their simchas, but just found some place to live, and he lives away from the Jewish people, and he keeps all of halacha. He keeps all of halacha. The Rambam says that such a person does not have a chelik in Adam Haba. He's not because he keeps all. He puts on a Rabbeinu Tam tefillin, but he's doing it someplace, like, you know, in some little village somewhere in the Canadian Rockies, and there isn't a Jew there, and he doesn't want to see a Jew. Like, I was once talking to somebody who was telling me he went on a cruise someplace to, I don't know, the Caribbean. He went on some cruise, and he was telling me how he enjoyed the cruise. I said, I asked him, you had a minion? Did you have a minion? He says, no, this was the No Jews cruise, as we called it. So I said, I understand, you don't want to get hocked. I understand that. But like, how do you go like a week without, what's the story? So he said, yeah, Shkoy. The No Jews cruise. There's something, I hear that a little bit, but it's just kind of, that's not for us. There's no such thing. Chas v'shalom. It's also, without other Jews, it's not alive. Thank God we're not in a situation where we're put into, we should never, God forbid, be in such a situation. We should never be in such a situation. But I know that even like if you just somehow, if you're driving around a little bit and you have to go somewhere, you're driving through different neighborhoods and you're driving, I know that when I finally get to the edge of Williamsburg and I see the first Jew, you know, walking with his shopping bag, I always go, oh, my gosh. Not because I'm afraid of, you know, what's going to happen on the way there, although, you know, you don't want to step out of the car. It's scary neighborhoods around. It's not just that. It's, if you're in the airport someplace and you see a Yid, what would it be like, Chas v'shalom, to live without other Jews? With all of the annoying stuff that comes with that. But what would it be like? What would it be like to live chalil? It's not a life without each other. It's not a life. So Rav Kook said to the Gerer, but that's our inyan, is batlus to nishmas Yisrael, to Knesset Yisrael, to the Ummah. Gam b'sefer Eiros shemishtamish man rav bituim lachshav Yisraelius, lahargish Yisraelius, to feel this. He says Yisraelius, that I'm a part of Yisrael. Lahargish, think Yisraelius. He uses such a word, nobody uses that. Yisraelius. He doesn't say Yiddishkeit. Of course, he's always talking about Yiddishkeit, but he says, you have to think Yisraelius, and to feel Yisraelius, the nation, to feel that way, always, as being part of and being bottled to the nation, the people, Am Yisrael. Leo's Muzar, to be illuminated. Lashon Or Zohar, Mizohar, Rav Kook says, Nishmos, Al Yenah, Chai, Vekemes, Ba'akoros, Ha'yikar, Eloki, Shalachai, Mitach, Penimus, Ha'aklonis. Rav Avinir explains, Ba'odam Yesh, Nefesh, Ruach, Neshama. We all have a Nefesh, Ruach, Neshama, and of course there are deeper levels of Chai, Yechida. It doesn't go into that right now, but a person has a Nefesh, Ruach, Neshama, Nefesh morkevis mehabiologia. The nefesh is that part of us that is connected to the actual biological existence, the nefesh. Hadam hua nefesh. Hafiziologia vapsychologia shel ha'adam, which includes the physiology and even this psychology of a person. Ruach yatzad ha'ruchni shel ha'adam. The ruchni is the ruach of the person. Liman ha'torah v'kim ha'mitzvus, that's the ruach. The behema ein ruach el nefesh bovad. The behema, of course, doesn't have that, only a nefesh. Neshami chelik elokomi mal. The neshami is a chelik elokomi mal. And then you have chai and yichida. The neshami is a chelik elokomi mal. Is that portion of God that's within each and every one of us. He inyan eloki. That's life itself of a Jew. Inyan eloki. Me'al l'kol eila. And higher than even that. Me'al l'kol eila. Kayemis nishmas ha'neshama. The neshama of the neshama. She nishmas klal Yisrael, which transcends the individual. It's nishmas klal Yisrael. Therefore, you see there are many Jews that they were able to imagine themselves being separated from Hashem, but they could not bear the thought of being separated from the Jewish people. There are many Jews out there that they can't. They can't bear the thought of being separated from the Jewish people. They want to always have connection to the Jewish people. It's scary that now you have a lot of young Jews that they don't even feel that they need to be connected to other Jews. That's what's happening lately. They don't feel a connection. I read recently somewhere that. And the poll that was taken, not only these polls, how accurate they are, but the poll was taken, and it was a minority of Jews under 30 or under 40, a minority, it was like 39 or 40%, feel that there's any particular connection or worry or concern that they have about what's happening to Jews anywhere in the world. That's a very, very frightening thing. There's always even Jews that weren't religious that that was something that they felt a connection to the Jewish people. That's in general like an apathy to. That's already a very, very big hest upon him because nishmas ha'neshama, it's not just detached from the chelik alakar, from the nefesh alakis, there's a detachment from Knesset Yisrael, from nishmas klal Yisrael, to be detached. Every individual Jew is a spark of that collective reality that's called Knesset Yisrael. Nishmas Klal Yisrael, Nishmas Nishmasa. And the Nishmas Klal Yisrael is the neshama of his neshama. And he doesn't feel connected to that. God, he left a long time ago, but how is it that he doesn't feel connection to the Tam Yisrael? The same way that his neshama is the neshama of his ruach, is the neshama of his ruach, ruchav he nishmas nafsho, and his ruach is the deepest neshama of his ruach, of his nefesh rather, his ruach is the neshama of his nefesh. I'll call Yehudi Elios Muzar, every Jew must be illuminated, min nishmas klal Yisrael. His neshama has to be illuminated, min nishmas klal Yisrael. So even though a person, he's a neshamadika person, davening and learning and mitzvahs, he just doesn't like Jews. He doesn't feel a connection to Jews. So, something is very, very wrong. He's detached from the neshama of his neshama. The neshama of his neshama is Knesset Yisrael, not an individual person. In the neshama of his neshama, he's not alone. He's with Am Yisrael. And not just Am Yisrael who's alive now, but from all previous generations. So here we have a strange thing. So you have some people that they feel no attachment to God, but they feel attachment to the Jewish people. Then you have some people that they feel an attachment to God, but they feel no attachment to Jews. That's a strange thing. It's a very rare thing. Very, very rare. Or a little attachment, or a little concern or care of what happens outside of their Dalet Amos, their shul or their shtibl. It's a very strange thing. That's why by Orthodox Jews, says that the statistics show that they all care about Am Yisrael. David, what is it?
It's a totally different thing. We used a line that said, it's no life without Jews. So when you're in Gullis, like the rabbi was describing, you come to see Jews in the town, you have an awakening. Rav Cook is talking about an Eretz Yisrael, and in Eretz Yisrael, everybody was Jewish anyway. So you're talking about observant and not observant. It's so different here and there. So I don't understand. He's talking from Eretz Yisrael, so like, there's no life without Jews, but they're all Jews there. So what is he saying? That's why it's hard to understand. Here it's easy for me to understand. You say, what's life without Jews? How can I live not in a nice Jewish neighborhood? I'm amongst Goyim. Yeah, I understand. I need to be around Jews. But he's talking over there where everybody's Jewish anyway.
So first of all, you're assuming that he wrote this when he was already in Eretz Yisrael. That's your first assumption.
Mm-hmm.
The second thing is that which you're correct about that. He did write this when he was in Eretz Yisrael. But even so, he's not just talking about the feeling that I had coming, you know, driving into Williamsburg. He's talking about connecting on a very deep level to even there are many Jews who live in Eretz Yisrael and they're surrounded by Jews, but they're like lobbying for Arabs.
Right. So is he talking about being around from Jews that's so important?
Being with Jews. He didn't make a distinction. He says being with Jews.
Right, that's why it's confusing.
It'd be more confusing if it said the other way. It's being with Jews. Being with Jews. Connecting to the Jewish people. And the Jewish people have all different types. We have Ashkenazim, we have Sephardim, we have religious, we have not religious, they're Jews. As long as somebody's a Jew, he's a Jew. Jews. Feeling that connection, that deep connection to every Jew. Whoever is halachically defined as a Jew is a Jew. Teva HaNeshama, Rav Kook's words. Teva HaNeshama, HaKlolis, Shaknes Yisrael, Hi Elokuyusa. The essential quality of the Jewish people's collective soul is its divine nature. Now, a person can live in a community, and it could be he's part of a community where there are thousands of Jews, or a synagogue where there are hundreds of Jews, and they're not interested in Yiddishkeit. They're not particularly concerned about God. But when it comes to the neshama klolish of Knesset Yisrael, the essential quality of the Jewish people's collective soul, it doesn't mean that the soul of your particular shul feels that, or the soul of your particular block and the Jews on your block feels that, but he's talking about the collective soul of the Jewish people. Again, the essential quality of the Jewish people's collective soul is its divine nature. The essential quality, that elokus, is the essential quality of the soul of Knesset Yisrael. So Rav Ner explains, L'nishmas ha'uma yesh teva. Every nation has a soul, has its nature. Of course, it doesn't mean neshama the way that we use the word neshama, but it has its essential core being and quality. Every nation. Kol umma teva mishala. Teva ha'angli, in England, teva talki, Italian. Yesh gam teva Yisrael. And there's also teva Yisrael. Kol am yeshna psychologi lounis. Every nation has its collective national psychology. Is a certain mahalach, every nation. Neshama, which we could call, it's just borrowing the term, it doesn't mean mamishna, but it has its neshama, its inner quality, its way of thinking, its psychology, its way of thinking. It wasn't an accident that Hitler Yimach Shemoy was matzliach in Germany, you understand? He would not have had the same hatzlacha in New Jersey. It wouldn't have been matzliach. It was matzliach in Germany. Because Hitler spoke to the neshama of the German people. And the neshama, the soul of the German people, is Amalek. And he spoke to that soul. Anybody who speaks to the German people in a different language doesn't really reach them. It doesn't really reach them. Hitler, Yimach Shemoy, he was able to reach the soul of the German people. That's their soul. That's their soul. And that's, every nation has its soul, its neshama. Chazal omrim shel kol uma yesh sar b'shamayim. That's Chazal are talking about when they say that every nation has its malach, has its representative malach. Yesh am shu amitz mitivo. There's a certain nation that by its nature is more courageous. Yesh am shu mesudim mitivo.
There's another nation that's very mesudar. That's everything is very mesudar. That's the Germans appreciate that too. Yeah. It's part of that teva that they have of Amalek. Everything is mesudar mitivo. That everything is very very has to be very orderly and everything has to be very much on time and so on. Tiva shel ha'uma ha'yisraelis hu elokius. The teva of the Jewish people is not capitalism, it's not math and science, it's not the arts, it's not art or literature. The teva, the core, essence, the neshama of Yisrael is elokiusa, it's godliness. That's the teva of the Jewish people. That doesn't mean there aren't religious people in the world, there are a lot of religious people from other nations, but that's not the teva. It's an added layer. It's not the teva. It's not the teva. Ketzad kosher hateva. So Rabbi Avinu is giving us page 31. He's giving us a little bit of a preview of what's coming. Ketzad kosher hateva lekila nosei shmita. So what does all this have to do with shmita? With the seventh year. Remember, Rav Kook wrote this sefer, Shabbos Ha'aretz. It's on Hilchas Shmita. It's a halacha sefer. It's where he lays out his whole justification for that. The Mechira. It's a very complicated, beautiful, and deep halacha sefer. What we're learning now is the introduction to that sefer, Shabbos Ha'aretz. So why is Rav Kook telling us all this stuff now? I mean, he's going to tell us more openly a little later, but Rav Avinu is asking at this point, let's just stop and think for a minute. What is this getting to? What does this have to do with the seventh year and resting the seventh year with Eretz Yisrael? What's the Indian here with Shemitah? We'll continue with that next week. It'll still be Shemitah next Erev Shabbos.